Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Stephanie L., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Wednesday, June 12, 2024, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page 24, reading the fourth paragraph, beginning with, "When this sort of thinking is fully established." We're going to read just one paragraph ending with, "So many want to stop but cannot." And again, we're reading and commenting on that one paragraph this morning. Today's readers are Shelly E. reading the text, Kara L. reading page 164, and Chanel T. is our backup reader today. Newcomer greeter is Cheryl S., and announcements will be Leslie M. The reference ID number for yesterday, Tuesday, June 11th, 2024, is 21,477, or 21477. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,482, or 21482. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Laura H. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. I'm Laura H. from Washington. I'm a compulsive overeater. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me be of service.
Well, thank you so much, Laura H. And I will now ask Jim C. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Hi, good morning. Jim C., grateful recovering compulsive eater in New York. 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except for matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Jim C. And how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, please let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page 24, fourth paragraph, beginning with when this sort of thing is fully established, ending with so many want to stop but cannot. We are reading and commenting on this one paragraph this morning, and I will now ask Shelley E. to please begin reading.
Thanks, Stephanie. Good morning, my fellows. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Petoskey, Michigan. The Big Book, page 24. When this sort of thinking is fully established in an individual with alcoholic tendencies, he's probably placed himself beyond human aid, and unless locked up, may die or go permanently insane. These dark and ugly facts have been confirmed by legions of alcoholics throughout history. But for the grace of God, there would have been thousands more convincing demonstrations. So many want to stop, but cannot. Thank you for allowing me to read this paragraph. I know when I came through the doors, I wanted nothing more than to stop. And while I had... I've probably lost 100, I think it's 147 pounds. But you know what? I came in the doors because of the crazy thinking, because of the constant not being in the now, not being in the present, and having tried everything humanly possible, I thought, I can't do it. Even prayer. I prayed and prayed and prayed, but I didn't realize what it was like to give everything to God, to put God in the driver's seat of my life. I was one of those that at the worst times I was, oh, please God, if you'll do this, I promise you that. And I thought I came in with a very strong faith. Little did I realize that, I was very faithful in times that I wanted to be, but I was taking the wheel away from God at every opportunity, or when things got rough. So it says he has probably placed himself beyond human aid, and unless locked up, may die or go permanently insane. I probably would have died, like I said, I was extremely overweight, and not, the next day, but I probably would have died from the effects of having been in my disease. But permanently insane, I was definitely insane on a daily basis. I was definitely concentrating on getting my next fix and missing my family. And not only that, I was not only missing everything, I was a miserable person to be around. I think back and think, how did they stand me? They must really love me a lot to still be around. I'm grateful now that I have time in recovery and I have a higher power that helps me every day to make amends with my family and allows me to be present with them daily. The last thing I had was in my book, I'm told to go to page 55, and it says, we were fooling ourselves, for deep down in every man, woman, and child is the fundamental idea of God, but it may be obscured by calamity, that's me, by pomp, by worship of other things, definitely me, and in some form or other, it is there. For faith in a power greater than ourselves and miraculous demonstrations of that power in human lives are facts as old as man himself. And I'm so grateful for the big book, for my fellowship, and most importantly, for higher power that carries me through the day. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I look forward to hearing what everybody else shares.
Well, thank you so much, Shelley. Thanks so much. We're going to now open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Monday or Tuesday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to 3 minutes to allow time for as many people as possible to share. I'll remind you with the timer when your time is up. And if you can please give your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from, who would like to share?
Liz E.
I've got you, Liz. Where are you calling from?
New York.
New York. Okay. Got you, Liz. And who else would like to share on this paragraph? Quiet group this morning. Well, while everyone else is thinking about sharing, we'll just go ahead and have you start, Liz.
Laura W. From Chicago.
All right. We'll add you on here, Laura W.
Thank you.
Okay, I've got Lizzie and Laura W. And Liz, you're up first.
Okay, I'm so grateful to be able to share at this very wonderful life-saving meeting for me. But my spiritual life was really good in every area, but I had this one little pocket that was just mine that, you know, was really from what I had, my spirituality had been in other areas. You know, I very much honor God in every way, but I had this one area that I was going to do whatever I wanted to do. And I was open about it with God. I talked with him about it, but boy, there came times and days where it was like, this is starting to take over my life. And God allowed it to take over my life because I wanted what I wanted. And eventually when I decided to give in, he was there. And, you know, I had no control over it. It was a monster that controlled me. You know, I thought I controlled this one area of my life, but no, it really controlled me. And only by God's grace am I not practicing active food addiction. I'm not obsessing like I used to because my priorities are in the right order. And with that, I'll close. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much, Liz E. from New York. Next up, Laura W.
Hi, everyone. Laura W. from Chicago, compulsive overeater. These lines really speak to me right now. I had really good recovery in 2016, all the way through to the end of COVID. And towards the end of COVID, I lost my recovery. I broke my abstinence. And I lost my connection with my higher power. And it's been a struggle. I have never left the rooms, but I have a real ways to go with a true connection with a higher power that can help me stay abstinent and get recovered. I am a person who believes in an abstract, more abstract, higher power, more of a spirit of the universe. And the problem with that is that because it's abstract, it's very subjective, and it's difficult for me to sometimes see what is the spirit of the universe that I can use, harness, to help me find my abstinence. And what I'm slowly finding is that I am relying on people's places and things that I have found in my life to be good, to be people, places, and things that I mentor, that I want to be like. And as I do that, I'm getting slowly but surely back to a place where I'm connecting. It is very difficult for me. Born and raised Catholic, very familiar with Christian religions and Jewish religion, history, but always in my ear is my agnostic, atheistic father who told me to think. But always having a mother who was religious, who is one of the best people I know, and overall, much happier than my father. So I struggle with this, but through this program, because of the openness towards seeking our own higher power, I'm really working on it and hope to get some recovery soon. Thank you. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Laura W. from Chicago. And we can get some more names of people who want to share, just to remind everybody where we are, in case you just joined us. We're on page 24. We're in the fourth full paragraph, beginning with, when this sort of thinking is fully established, ending with, so many want to stop but cannot. We read and we're commenting on just that one paragraph this morning. So who would like to share?
Cindy L. in North Carolina.
Was that Cindy L?
Cindy F, like Frank, in North Carolina.
All right, Cindy, I've got you.
Felicia F.
Cheryl F.
I think I heard Felicia.
F. F is in Frank in New York.
Okay, got you, Felicia.
Cheryl S.
I've got you, Cheryl. And that's an F is in Frank, right?
S is in Sam.
F, I knew that. Sorry. I have problems with the F's and the S's, but... All right. Anyone else want to get in on this lineup?
Kara L.
I got you, Kara.
Yvonne A.
Got you, Yvonne. And where are you calling from, Yvonne?
BC, Canada.
Canada, gotcha. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. I've got Cindy F., Felicia F., Cheryl S., Kara L., Yvonne A., and we'll start with Cindy F., followed by Felicia F. You're up, Cindy.
Good morning. Can I be heard?
We can hear you.
Thank you for your service this morning. I'm driving, so I don't have the big book right in front of me, but I love those words, when this sort of thinking gets established. And That was my problem, was my thinking. I don't live in my heart. I live out of my head as an addict, and it's only when the words sink down from my head into my heart that it becomes meaningful. And I'm a future surfer. I don't live, rarely do I live in the moment. In my job, one of my coworkers put in her notice this week, and I'm already, you know, like, what's going to happen? I'm going to have to work more, because I'm an addict and I'm full of, you know, self-pity, self-seeking, dishonesty. And I called a fellow this morning, and I was complaining about it, and she was so lovely and said, basically, yes, it is scary. And I just started to cry. And that was the problem. I was scared. But when I become honest and bring all that I am before God and say, you know, I'm this or I'm that, God needs me right where I am, and it pulls me out of my head into my heart. And I don't know how this program works. All I know is that my life is dependent on that thread that keeps me tethered to God. And I have to help other people, and I'm grateful for the recovery that I have. I recently had celebrated 3 years of sobriety in this program, and that in itself is just a miracle from God. And just wanted to share this morning, and thank you all, and I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Cindy F. from North Carolina. Next up, Felicia F., followed by Cheryl F.
Hi, can I be heard?
You can be heard.
So this is my first time ever sharing on here. So I'm taking a risk, a challenge for me. But it's not a challenge for me to connect with my higher power, and I'm working very hard. I'm realizing through my recovery, where I've only been with the program 2 years, that higher power is very, very important, and doing my steps together will keep me abstinent, and I am abstinent. And I am working a solid program, and sometimes I have to act as if, because I just don't want to, sometimes I have to just go through the motions until I feel comfortable just to speak honestly and openly with my higher power, and not make it all about me, but to give service, which is what I feel my higher power needs me to do. So I just want to say I'm really kind of claiming my seat, and I really like this reading. And I'm just finished. I'm starting my eighth and ninth step. I'm working my practice, my spiritual practice, and I'm just really just doing it one meal at a time. By the grace of God, thank you. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Cindy F. from North Carolina. Alicia F. from New York. Wait, did I get that right? I think that was, yeah. I am just a little confused this morning, you guys.
I just spoke. I'm Felicia from New York.
Thank you, Felicia. So sorry. Felicia from New York.
Yes, I just finished. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Okay. Next up is Cheryl S., followed by Kara L.
Good morning. This is Cheryl S. in Nevada. And boy, I know that feeling of when you think, you know, I think I'm awake. But I don't seem to be acting like I'm awake. So thank you for being human. So the sentence in this paragraph, so many want to stop but cannot. You know, we've reached the end of this section of this chapter. Right, and the very next sentence is there is a solution. So this is like the dark, you know, before the light. And I just think that last sentence is so important. And there's a fellow who says in this program, it's not for those who need it, it's not for those who want it, it's for those who do it. And that doing it part is huge. It's the key. You have to do it. And there's another place where it says faith without works is dead. And you know, I wanted this. Oh, how I wanted this. And so many other things. I want to be physically fit. You know, I want to be a good mother. I want to be a good wife. But I have to have action steps to be able to achieve those goals. And in this program, it's the steps. And I've seen, you know, as a sponsor, I haven't been around for a long time, but as a sponsor, I've seen, you know, the people that do really well in this program are the people that dig in and get their steps done. They don't dawdle. It doesn't take them, you know, a long, long time. And that may not be true for everybody. I'm sure that there's an exception to every rule. But my experience is, and for myself too, just doing it with intensity, doing it as quickly as I can, but also as thoroughly as I can, you know, finding that balance and getting it done. And then to maintain my recovery, I have to do certain things every day. And the more that I do those things, the phone calls, the meetings, the reading, the writing, the outreach, the service, the better off I am, the happier I am. But the doing it, you know, it's like some kind of a weird human nature thing where we don't want to do the things, I don't want to do the things that are good for me. And the other thing I was thinking about was, what if I connected to a higher power and I said, I want this so bad. And my higher power said, I want it for you too. And that was it. I expect my higher power to do things for me, to get me recovered and to help me in this life and in this program. So if I expect action from my higher power, then it's very reasonable that my higher power expects action in return. And I have to remember that. I will get what I give, both to my fellows and to my higher power. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Perfect timing. Cheryl S. from Nevada. Thank you. Next up, Kara L., followed by Yvonne A.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Oh, I love, you know, this paragraph. I love this paragraph because it reminds me of my days that when I was trying to solve my own problem. And even today, when I'm somewhere, like, I notice that things are complicated and I'm worked up and I'm like, wait a minute. Have I placed myself beyond human aid in this situation? And most of the time I have. So how I learned to recognize that is with my food, you know, saying every morning, today's the day, and waking up and eating a diet breakfast and then continuing to compulsively eat the whole day and then get to the end of the day demoralized with renewed promises for the next day, and to wake up, eat the diet breakfast, and continue to compulsively overeat, right? That's how I recognized it. I placed myself beyond human aid and human power. And so when I turned to that with my food, I said, okay, I can't do this. Obviously, I can't do this. So every day I have to say, you know, higher power, I can't do this on my own. I'm just going to trust in your abundance and your power today. And I'm going to give you this day. Please help me to serve you and others in this day. Please make this day easy. And then all of a sudden, the day lightens. And I don't know how it happens. So when I'm struggling with something, that's what I have to do. Not put more energy into it, not get serious about it, not get more organized, not figure it out, but to stop. And for me, that's counterintuitive. To stop and say, I need help. Higher power, can you please help me here? Give me intuitive thought, inspiration, or a decision. And that's when it lightens. I don't know how it works, but it works. And, you know, tomorrow we get to hear there's a solution. So with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Kara L. from California. Next up, Yvonne A.
Good morning, everybody. This is Yvonne A. from BC, Canada. And yeah, this is very true as well. I had fully established this kind of thinking in my brain, And like previous sharers have said, every morning I woke up with this renewed, assuredness that I was going to be able to beat this today, that today would be a different kind of day than yesterday had been, than the day before that had been. And I got, you know, wrapped up every time a new exciting diet came along, something different, something to order, buying, whether it was, you know, workout tapes or special dishes, anything like that distracted me from the actual problem was somehow going to fix the actual problem. But I had no idea. As the truth is, I did not know I had placed myself beyond human aid. I thought I could still fix the problem. And so I just kept trying and trying because I didn't know any better. I didn't know anything else. But eventually, and it took a long time, I'm in my early 60s now, I made my way into Overeaters Anonymous, where my higher power blessed me with being connected with a vision sponsor right off the bat, and really digging into this book and understanding that I had a spiritual malady, that I had a physical allergy, that I had a mental obsession, and that those things had indeed placed me beyond human aid, and that I was going to need a higher power. And it had never occurred to me in all of those probably 45 years that I had been trying to fix this problem, that a higher power might be the solution. I had no, that thought never entered my mind, even though, like also others have shared, I probably, you know, begged for help from God at my worst and lowest points. And so I take great hope and joy in the fact that I get to be on this call every morning, that I get to speak with many of you, that I hear multiple shares every day telling me how this program, their higher power, is bringing recovery into their lives every single day. I now get the blessing of food neutrality. I have been abstinent, oh gosh, I don't know how long actually. I've been in program for just over 2 years, and I did have one break in my abstinence. But this is a life beyond my wildest dreams. And when I first heard that, I thought, okay, that's a little much. Beyond my wildest dreams? No, this truly is beyond my wildest dreams. I never had any idea this was possible. And so I've gone from, I'm still beyond, thanks, still beyond human aid, but luckily in the loving arms of a higher power. Thank you. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Yvonne A. from BC, Canada. And we can take another lineup if you'd like to share on this lovely paragraph on page 24. We read the fourth full paragraph, beginning with when this sort of thinking is fully established, finishing up with so many want to stop but cannot. So we read and we're sharing on that paragraph. If you'd like to share, please give your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from.
Lorraine M. from California.
I've got you, Lorraine.
Rebecca R. from Kentucky.
Is that Rebecca R?
Yes, Becca.
Becca, okay. Got you, Becca. We'll have time for at least two or three more. Anyone else would like to share from this paragraph?
Lane B, California.
I heard California, but I didn't hear the name.
Oh, Lynn D, California.
All right, got you, Lynn. And there was someone else in there, too.
Elaine B, Massachusetts.
Hey, Elaine, I've got you. Anyone else would like to get in here? Okay, well, we'll go with these four. I've got Lorraine, Becca R, Lynn D, Elaine B. Lorraine, you're up first, followed by Becca R.
Hi, good morning, Lorraine. I'm from California. First of all, before I forget, I just want to thank everyone, you know, for being here. and participating. This meeting really helps me start my day and get my daily reprieve going. But one of the things I was thinking about or remembering in reading this paragraph was we either go dead or, you know, become permanently insane. And when I think back to when I came, yeah, I was kind of like the walking dead, you know, not being able to feel feelings, whether it was joy or sadness, excitement for certain things. And thanks, you know, to the program and giving up my compulsive, intrusive thoughts of food all day long and how am I going to control my food and what am I going to eat, what am I not going to eat, rationalizing things, all those intrusive thoughts that pretty much ran my life have slowly or beginning to slowly disappear, and I'm able to actually feel happiness and joy and so forth. And, of course, with that also comes, you know, maybe not so happy, not so happy feelings also comes along. And with the program and with the help of everyone in the program, being able to reconnect with higher power and through people and through prayer and get through my day being abstinent. And I really do know that it's only by the grace of God, because every day those little miracles are happening, whether it's passing the table of goodies at work, you know, saying no thank you. I mean, those are really truly little miracles that I could only do because I have the guidance through HP. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much, Marie. And next up, Becca R., followed by Lindy.
Hey, good morning. It's Becca R., recovered compulsive overeater, calling in from Kentucky. And I just wanted to note what came up for me with the reading was just this old ping pong of all or nothing, like this firm resolve and excitement to try the next fad, to do the next, you know, to have the next plan, or this utter low spot of depression where I just felt like everything was sinking in on me and I was never going to get out of this hole. And what I found is that ping pong can still be there, but it's not as disproportionate to one another. The window of tolerance is closing in. And my tolerance for that old discomfort of the extremes is lessening. And yeah, it's a miracle. It is an absolute miracle that I'm able to, through the program and through the tools and through sponsorship and mostly through having this new conduit to a higher power that I'm tapped into and I have this connection to it at any time, that's given me this gift of recovery of, I mean, I can't believe that I'm not in that awful cycle anymore. And I tried everything. I tried all the diets, all the plans, spent all the money. And yeah, to be sitting here in this right-sized body, yeah, I'm outside right now. Like, who am I? It's baffling. It's baffling. And it just reiterates the fact that there is a loving presence of a higher power in my life. And I just keep coming back. I keep coming back. I want more. That's like the best thing about this program is like I never finish. I don't ever have to be finished with this program. There's always more to uncover, more work to do, and I just continue to grow closer to God. And you know, if you had told me when I came into program that that's what would happen, I don't think I could have imagined to slow down enough from that race in my head of exerting more energy or just being full of absolute depression and despair, just to be right-sized figuratively and physically. Yeah, good to be here. Thanks. That's all I have.
Well, thank you so much, Becca R. from Kentucky. Next up, Lynn B., followed by Elaine B.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm Lynn D. from San Diego, California.
And, gosh, when I, you know, I was just so insane, insanity to the max around food. When I first came in, I was on the younger side. And so I had just, for me, diet mentality was just this, like, ever constant of diet and maintenance, diet and maintenance. Well, for me, insanity was, okay, I followed the diet, you know, but the maintenance was just making me insane because I could never do it. And so by the time I got in program when I was 19, I had lost and gained over 90 pounds almost three times, you know, like that is like proof of insanity for me around food and food behavior. So it's hard for me to, at first to like really grasp that, you know, no, like somebody just said, nobody's going to graduate this program. This is life tools. And when I could finally get, beyond the food and really get into the people, places and things, by connecting with my higher power and learning how to do life, I could release that thinking of diet and diet mentality and maintenance, diet maintenance, to just living. This is how we live. Nobody ever taught me that. You know, unfortunately, you know, my parents did the best they could with what they had. And that's the tape I play. but yeah, so, you know, the all or nothing and just the insanity. Like sometimes I really forget, like, you know, taking all of the things and the free things in the middle of the table before somebody could get one. Like that's insane behavior. That's compulsive overeating. It's a good for me to remember that. And then like today, like insane behavior can show up in different ways. Like, oh, you don't have to, you know, listen live to Vision every day. And you can skip, you know, you can just, this week you can just listen to the recording meetings. You're going to be okay. Like for me, that's insane behavior because I don't get the same when I listen live and I participate and I thank people for their service. And I get a connection to my higher power on a constant plane every morning. So anyways, thank you for letting me share. And thank you for your service. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Lindy from California. Next up is Elaine B.
Thanks so much for your service, Stephanie L., and what great shares. Oh, it is important that we get it. How did I ever get started again? I'll stop after the sixth Twinkie. Let's see if anyhow. That's the sort of thinking that can get so fully established, so deeply rooted that even after 3 years of abstinence, I picked up because I didn't really, really, really know that my self-reliance was going to fail, that I was beyond human aid, that, you know, I did feel insane, but I had the huge buffer zone that I couldn't feel because I ate. I couldn't worry because I ate. I couldn't care because I ate. I ate and ate and ate and ate and ate, and I tried to stuff it down, and then it would pop up again. So I'd eat and eat, and it would pop up again. So my belly grew, and my problems didn't do anything but grow as well. But, you know, I was beyond it, and I really am grateful for the grace of God because I could still be in that, you know, not just the physical state, you know, the physical state was embarrassing, you know, get on an airplane and the thing doesn't fit. You need an extender for your seatbelt, and just knowing how I feel and how I look, it didn't feel good. But, you know, I knew that this was going to work. I'd been in meetings where people were doing the steps. I heard, and really it was when somebody gave me the number for Vision for You, and I heard that first meeting, they call this plain insanity. I was living a way that was insane. I did not know that there was a better way. And I thought it was all about the food. But since then, I've learned so much more, you know. there, but the grace of God, the grace of God came through. And, you know, there could be many more demonstrations in my own life. But with God's help, one day at a time, I use the scale. With God's help, one day at a time, I check in with my sponsor. With God's help, one day at a time, I pick up this little chip of a book and follow the clear-cut directions for, you know, step 3, step 11, and then step 10 all throughout the day, because there are things that will disturb me, that will make me think, forget it, you know. I don't need God. I don't need a solution, but I always do. So thank you for being here and for carrying it. And I pass with that.
Thank you so much, Elaine B. And we have time for a probably three-minute share. Who would like to share? This is Diane.
I can share. Can I share?
Okay, Diana, what's your last initial and where are you calling from?
Diane N. from Georgia.
Hey, Diane, actually, you got 2 minutes. Go for it.
Okay. Thank you guys for your service and for everything I've heard. It's been quite a while since I've been on this meeting. But as I was listening today, I've been in recovery, I think it will be 5 years in January. So, but I've been in the room since 1980, chronic relapser and a relapse survivor. But anyway, while we were talking, while I was listening, years ago when I came in, we had to go to AA meetings because we didn't have a lot of OA meetings. And I said, always go to AA meetings if you can't find one. So I went to I was attending an AA meeting, and I went to one of their conventions, and Joe and Charlie was talking. And then we got them to come to our OA office here in Atlanta, and they talked to us. And there's something that I can't remember which one of them said, because as you know, one is a person of color, one is black, and one is white. But I can't remember which one said it. But he gave us an analogy, and it stayed with me, because I didn't want to think I was crazy. You know, I was insane, insanity. He said, it's like having a piece of a pie and just one little part, one little section is missing. And that section for us is the food. When it comes to the food, I'm just insane. And I, even though I had that knowledge, even though I had the knowledge that's talked about how when it comes to food, I mean, years later, I remained a chronic relapser, even with all the knowledge, even after reading, when it comes to food, I've lost the power of choice, because that's what the big book says. And I kept thinking, every time I get this piece of knowledge, I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to do it this time. It's going to work. I won't eat the whole box. My meal won't end when the box is empty. But I stayed in the rooms because I had nowhere else to go. And I kept, eventually, during the pandemic, it's as if a whole new world opened to me. I was able to follow the directions and all that stuff that I heard had gotten before, the knowledge. It just made sense to me. When I saw that I was beyond human aid, I was able to receive that, because before Okay, thank you. Thank you all for everything today and for 12-stepping me. I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you, Diane N. from Georgia. And we will now close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Kara L., can you please read a vision for you?
Sure. Good morning. This is Kara L. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Amen.